Morning, everyone. Welcome to the United Pentecostal Church in Paris. We are so glad to have each and every one of you here. So great to be in the house of the Lord. I was listening to a sermon by Brother Mark Brown yesterday, and he was speaking from the book Song of Solomon. And he used chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. It's not too long, but he said, it says, I'll start at 2. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew, and my lots with the drops of the night. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? My beloved put it in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for him. I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh. Upon the handles of the lock, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. And Brother Mark Brown was talking about how this past year, and now this moving into this year, he talked about how God has been knocking. Our beloved has been knocking on our door. How have we responded? We tried to get all pretty. We dressed up with our perfume, with our myrrh. Now's not the time for that, church. We only have a certain amount of time that our lover's going to be here, because we're not even promised the next second, church. So take this time. Don't worry about looking pretty. Don't worry about smelling good, church, because that's not what it's all about. It's about our beloved, and he's knocking at our door, and he wants to entertain us. He wants to love us. He wants to take away our problems. It's just up to us. Like Brother Seth Williams spoke last week, if we respond, if we decide, you know, even though I'm tired and I've already undressed, I've already cleaned up, let me go up to that door and let me open it and let him in, because that's what we're called to do, church. So if you would, stand with us and let's worship and let's open that door. Let's forget about how we look. Let's forget about how tired we are. And let's enter into the praise and let's worship God.
There are deliverance, healing in His name, victory, power in the same.
King of kings, there's deliverance in his victory. To the King of Kings, let's deliver us in his name.
I have come today to say a word. I have come to speak as what was instilled in me. Hell, shut your mouth. I am a child of the King. Revival is here. The devil's been wearing me out to shut my mouth. Hell, shut your mouth. As the King stood before the people, he made declarations. I decree and I declare this day revival. Yes. Let's serve the King with gladness. Let's drop all flesh so that word that's preached here in a moment will penetrate our hearts. He's given us the opportunity to sacrifice this flesh today. I decree and I declare revival. Hell, shut your mouth. Yes.
Whenever I used to work at the summer camp that I worked at back in 2016, it was a camp with kids that had chronic illnesses every single week of the summer, and we were able to work there, and it was a great experience in my life. But one night of the week, we would have a cookout night, where oftentimes we would build a fire with nothing but matches and sticks that the kids would gather, and we would cook a fire cook a meal on the fire. And then we would sing camp songs, and we would do all that. And then the kids would leave, and the staff members, which was me, would clean up the rest of the campsite. And we'd make sure that the fire was put out, and then we would leave and go back and make sure the kids were put to bed and everything like that. But the biggest rule with putting out that fire was, as long as there was a little bit of an ember in that fire, I couldn't leave. As long as there was a little bit of a light shining in that fire, I wasn't safe to leave yet, because that fire might reignite. And a lot of times I feel like we walk in here feeling like that little bit of fire. We have a little bit, and as we've been beat down, we've been knocked down, we don't have much going, but we feel like the enemy is still just right there holding us down. It's because the enemy knows. Jeremiah says, like a fire shut up in my bones, and if it might be a little bit of fire, you might be engulfed in flames. But as long as there is a little bit of flames, well, you have a little bit. You're here today. That means there's a little bit of fire. As long as there is a fire, that enemy's not going to leave you alone yet. But you're going to say what he said. Hell, shut your mouth. I've got a little bit of a flame in me, and I'm going to let it rise up today. And when we lift up praises, God can't help himself. He is going to move in that situation. He's going to move in your need. He's going to move today. And today, I'm going to see healing. I'm going to see deliverance in the congregation. We're going to see breakthroughs today. In Jesus' name, shout the Lord. Right now, if the faith is at its highest, we're going to take prayer requests. And if you have a little bit of fire, if you have something you feel you have a need and you want to have a breakthrough today, if you want to have a healing today, we're going to ask you to move up here. We're going to anoint you with oil, and you're going to see what you have been looking for this morning. We're going to pray for Marie Miller, for Bobby Brooks, Beverly Hamill, Marilyn Elmore, Patty Summerlott, Julia Posey, Billy Hurley, Paul Abston, Billy Trinato, and Jeremy Trinato, Georgia McCool, Noah Denton, Brother and Sister Bob Bolton, Brother and Sister Alton Bristow, Brother and Sister John Proctor, and Brother and Sister Charles Fleming. We are moving forward as a church today. We are moving forward in our healing, in our promises, and in our breakthroughs. And if you have a need today, in faith, I ask you to step out of your pew and move forward and receive that prayer and receive the healing today. In Jesus' name, God, I pray that you move today. We've experienced you. We've experienced your presence. And Lord, I pray that you continue to rain down on us today, that you move on the brokenhearted, that you heal those that are hurting. You begin to sweep across this place and restore and to rebuild and push us forward today to call us out of darkness into your marvelous life, God. In Jesus' name.
Yes, the world will bow down and say you are God. Every man will bow down and say you are King. So let's start. So we'll sing hallelujah. is doing it, King of glory. Fill this place, King of healing. Fill this place, King of my peace.
Good to be with each of you. Why don't you just look at someone and smile, even if you've been crying, give them that cry-eyed smile. We have a couple of announcements. Matthew and Lainey Bright, they had their baby boy, and he is so cute. Yes, that is a miracle. So, and they're doing great. Just keep them in your prayers. Family and friends prayer is just about every Saturday night at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary. I don't know how many people we had last night, but it was incredible. And I thank Brother Griffith for that burden and making sure that it happens. So I encourage you to be there. The more we can pray for our service and our community, the more effective we will be. Ladies Joy Conference is this weekend. If you're unable to attend the entire conference, you can register at the door and choose which service you go to. Our monthly mission pledge is due April 25th. The Mothers, Daughters, and Friends Tea Party is Saturday, May 8th in the Family Life Center. If you want to attend this, please sign up in the foyer if you want to be involved. I know we have a church that likes to be active and involved. If you want to be involved, this is your chance. Reach out to Sister Lisa Calico and y'all can help her, okay? Youth camp, tomorrow is the last day to register, so you have until tomorrow to tell Brother Stephen, Sister Cowan, if you're attending or not. I think it's about $200, but we will not be having NAYC this year, so put that money up for youth, your youth camp, okay? And beginning this Sunday, we'll have nursery attendance for parents who want to leave their babies and toddlers during the Bible lesson. Sister Dot and Sister Candy Goforth will be in the nursery to keep the little ones. And I know this is a sacrifice, especially for Sister Candy. She has four kids of her own, so take advantage of that and be sure you're thankful towards them. So if you want to just continue to pray and worship with us, why don't you just go ahead and stand back up? Aren't you thankful that you can put your hope and your trust in His Word? Jesus. Oh God, a better word, a better word.
Your victory is over.
it seemed the end had come. It looked as if the grave had won.
Whatsoever, but that's often how my life goes. You know, I'm not matching. That's just how it goes sometimes, and I'm okay with that as long as I'm in the will of God. Amen. So last night, I'm not super into this generation because, yeah, I mean, I think we really blow our problems out of proportion, and everyone always has anxiety. And not that saying that it's not real or anything, but. You know, sometimes they blow their problems out of proportion. But last night, I had a serious spell of anxiety, and I'd been laying down for about 2 hours, and I still wasn't able to go to sleep. So then finally, I turned on a little cartoon. There's nothing wrong with that. I turned on a little positive cartoon, you know, maybe give me a little bit of positive vibes to help me go to sleep before I go to bed. And nothing was working. And at that point, it was about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I hate staying up before church because I 100% believe in giving 100% to God the next day. And I just started to get this overwhelming fear of anxiety and just nervousness. And I would oftentimes say I'm overconfident. And so this feeling, whenever it comes over me, it's not something that I'm used to. And this just built up to me, and I was just, I got to the point where it was so bad, I was just bawling in bed. And I said, God, help me. Jesus, help me. I was so desperate to get rid of it. Now, it was a plea at that point. I was pleading for this thing to leave me alone. And so then God was like, come on, Sterling. Let's see what you got. So at 1 a.m., not to brag, I hated it, honestly. I like to get my sleep, especially working nowadays. I like to get my sleep. But I had to crucify my flesh last night. I had to make it suffer a little bit last night. For me to get over what I was going to do, I had to. And instantly the song came to me, do it again, I'll see you do it again. And in that song it says, I know the night won't last. So I had to tell myself, I know this night won't last. And then I had a few scriptures come to mind. This is Psalm 73:26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Stay with me for just a second. First Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. This was my verse of the day yesterday. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. And then Hebrews 13:14 came to me. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Y'all know what that means? That means this isn't our world, church. And I don't care how bad my flesh hurts. And I don't care how in my feelings and how in my heart I am, which I was last night. Because in the verse and in scriptures, God tells me my flesh and my heart will fail. Church, your flesh and your heart is going to fail. That is why I'm so on faith right now. Because the actual thing that keeps you alive in this world is 100% going to fail. So I sang these scriptures out loud. I read these scriptures out loud and more came, but I can't find them right now. And then finally I was on my knees and it turned into a worship service at that point. At 1:30 in the morning, I'm still persevering. That's not to brag on me, that's to brag on the Lord. Because he turned, like the song that we sing says, he turned my mourning into dancing. He turned what the enemy meant for evil into so much greater. Because I needed a victory last night, church. This week I've been fighting, and I needed it bad last night, and God knew that. So he came through. But like I always say, he didn't just come through. He went so much further. He gave me so much more than victory. So if you see this smug smile on my face that I got this morning, know I've got it for a reason. Because he turned my mourning into dancing. He turned my weeping at the night into joy in the morning. And I will thank him for that forever. And I will be grateful for that forever. The ushers may come. Church, just because we're taking offering doesn't mean we can't praise him. The church, like Brother Seth Williams said, it goes in order, and we need that divine order. But God's will is so much more important than our regular little service can ever be. And don't ever take it for granted that you're in the house of the Lord and his presence is here all the time. Jesus, I pray that you would bless the minister today, God. I pray that you would bless Pastor as he delivers a word to our hearts, God. I pray that you would bless these finances in each and every household here today, God. I pray that you would bless each and every person's heart, mind, and strength. In Jesus' name, have your way in my life and in these lives here.
If you got pain, here's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
If you got pain,
if you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel
experience Jesus Christ is truly a phenomenon. To experience hope beyond the grave is a supernatural thought. There is no end to deity. He had no beginning and he had no end. He was, he is, and he is to come. It is a thrill to represent him in any way to people who desire a true future. And so today it is a joy and an honor to share life with people who care about life, who care about the continuity of our future. And I cannot thank the aged, those who have been here for many years, for keeping the lights on. And I think it would be right for all of you that are 30 and below to give a big hand clap to the people that have kept this building and this message alive in this generation. The message of hope is something that you cannot buy. We have all hoped that clothing and housing and cars would make us feel complete. But only a few years into almost all of that, we find ourselves hungry again. The only place there is unlimited potential for thrills, joys, glories, excitement is in the kingdom of Almighty God. And so I'm glad to represent that kingdom to us today. And I thank all of you who have helped to keep alive the work of God in Parrish, Texas, Lamar County, and this area. And so today I want to talk about Christianity and what Christianity really is. Christianity is deeper than a religion. Christianity is not a religion within itself. It develops religious overtones and develops a lot of things, but Christianity is to develop Christ in us. To become Christians, we are filled with His Spirit, are born again of the water and the Spirit. And while I'm saying that about the water, I thank you again for all you have done to make this baptistry a possibility. And, well, what a thrill it is to have this open and ready for any and every occasion. So today the church is progressing, and light is coming to those who sit in darkness. And while I want us to give the media team a little hand clap right now. They work hard. They work long. And Brother Mike, I don't know where the mic came in, unless I'm holding a mic that's a microphone. But Brother Mike has worked hard with the media team, developing it and keeping it alive, and he has been working extremely diligently to help us to have twin projectors that truly project the same thing and same intensity and light. And so we're believing that within this year that's going to happen. And hopefully in the next 2 weeks, We're looking for a snorkel lift, and we found one this week that will, when the projectors get here, we'll be able to put them up. Christians just means followers of Christ. You're living in a generation with 360 religious systems and developing totally different schematics are portfolios of the same Christ. None of us have perfected ourselves yet. We will only be perfected in that final change. But in the process of that, our goal this year is changing to overcome every obstacle. That is our motto. It is our theme, changing to overcome. And one of the theories that is seriously serious is that is we all have that hope of in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. How valid is that hope if we're not changing from glory to glory, as the Bible said? We are changed into His image from glory to glory. And there was no way for Him to fly out without going through the graveyard. He ascended on high after dying out to that visible body that He put around Himself to make Himself more available to us. That was the Christ. The Christ was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we're going to be dealing with that in the upcoming Sundays. We're going to be dealing with the idea of God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of the church, and man is the head of the woman. You ladies are going to love it. That doesn't mean what the world has made it mean. It doesn't mean a boss. It means an example. Christianity is not on a tour. Christians have a distinct future. There is a power source now and a new body later. Right now, your body is a body of sin. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. You do not have to teach your children how to lie, hate, steal, destroy, hurt, etc. It's natural. Man is born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Sin is separation from God. Iniquity is developing a religious system that fits the economy of flesh. The spiritual economy is the grace of God that hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and fleshy lust, we should depart from sin. Iniquity is the twisting of truth, taking one scripture and trying to find the whole future out of one scripture. All scripture is given by God and is designed by God to have joining capabilities. Just as the members of your body, fibras, or whatever you call all those other bones, shin bones and ankle bones and all those bones, they join together. Try taking a few of them out. Bones are the structure or the doctrine of the body. You cannot separate the thing that holds the nerves and the bloodlines and the rest of life together. You can't take the bone out and have a mobility. It is the bone structure that the muscle pulls against that can suddenly reach over. The intensity of the fingers can literally lift heavy loads. They can kick over. Not going to do it. They can kick obstacles out of the way, but until there's doctrine, there is no substance for the power of the Spirit to do its total work. And so understanding that, the teachings of the Word, the structure of the Word, the putting the Word together to make it mobile and powerful against all enemy makes the Word of God come alive, and you shall have power to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means destroy your future. These are clean thoughts. They clean up the debris. They organize the structure. And that's why we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, is because we want to clean out from under our fingernails. We want to clean out anything from our toenails, from ingrown toenails that need a little trimming. We need the work of God and the Spirit of God, the ministry of the Word, to absolutely keep us from being drawn aside by some weakness and having to give our attention to some sickness or whatever in the body. We are healed by the bloodline. It is the work of the blood to bring about the glory of the Lord, the cleansing of the body, the cleansing of the mind, the cleansing of infirmities. And that's why we call on the name of Jesus, because in Him alone was the blood. In Him alone was authority. In Him alone was total life. And He is the bloodline. And that's therefore is therefore now no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. That's why we praise the name of Jesus. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus. That's why we have all authority through the name of Jesus. And that's why we study the Word, because the Word is in the name. The name is in the Word, and you cannot separate the Word from the name. So those are huge idealisms, but they are spiritual power source. So Christianity is a power source now. And then as we overcome death, hell, and the grave, a brand new body. I amaze myself and amaze people by hearing them, someday I'm going to walk on streets of gold. I asked myself here recently, what is that? I don't mind the pavement. Hello? So you're going to trample on riches. What does that mean? I'm not looking for walking on another type highway. I'm looking for a whole life. And I fight the fight of faith every day so I can have a hold on an eternal rope of hope that leads me. I preach to you for one reason. I believe in that hope. I believe in that joy. I believe in the miracle power that one of these days the graves are going to all open and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. You're not going to need a Boeing. You're not going to need anything else. All you need is the name, the blood, and a born-again experience with Jesus. And you got power to overcome the devils now and overcome the grave later. Ladies and gentlemen, going to church is not the objective. Going to church to get cleaned up. Going to church to keep your spirit up. Going to church to keep your mind renewed, going to church to worship the Lord is the key to the success of every day and every week and every month and every year. There is nothing like going to the house of God to hear the preaching of the Word, to hear the ministry of the Spirit, and to let the singing and the worship take its place. Now, for the carnal mind, that's all just a bunch more stuff like TV. But for the spiritual minded, that receive the Word and the Spirit, their life has changed. You didn't get fat overnight. You didn't get skinny overnight. You choose what you eat and you get the results. We don't work to be saved or holy. We become both by obedience. Following the Christ is obedience. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. We are not Pentecostal in the strictest sense. We are Pentecostal in the sense of that we have to have a name to operate in our governmental system. We have to have bylaws in order to be able to maintain the integrity of the local assembly in a system that has a wide range of who is in charge. We have let the Word of God be in charge, and it is retained in the bylaws of our local assembly that we honor the Word of God, and we have doctrinal truths that we have taken from the Word and implement the structure of the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, Texas. And if anybody ever needs to know that and you don't have the information available, please tell them to call pastor, and I will gladly take them to the Word of God and show them the highway that we pursue. Now, you can't take them down all the paths of all the highways that we have constructed through the years. I am appreciative of the United Pentecostal Church because they have absorbed much teaching from the Methodists. They have absorbed much teaching from the Lutherans. They have absorbed much teaching from all other persuasions. So we're not against anybody that lends support to the overall picture. But we're not stopping like so many have already. And many Pentecostals have now stopped, and they're just going in a circle like they did in the book of in the Old Testament, where that for 38 years they went in a circle. All you got to do is look at what's in the book. 38 years they went in a circle. And God said through the book of Hebrews, God was not pleased with that group for doing that. So we're not going to just go in a circle. We are going into more. And the more we move into Him, the stronger we become, and the greater becomes the unity of the faith. And that's why that we cannot just sit around. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh. And we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We crucify the flesh and the lust of the flesh so that we are in unity. Somebody say, sink. We understand the word sinking our computer, and we understand the word synchronizing our phone number and etc. But we as Christians are learning how to synchronize ourselves with this. He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. He is the righteous Son of God. God made Himself visible through a physical body. Well, those are huge things. That's not like some just little synthetic statement. And so we crucify the flesh and the lust thereof, because your flesh is an antenna to want to lie. We're all those lying spirits that you're tempted to use regularly. You get in a bind and you get to thinking, well, I can just lie myself out. I'll take a little detour here with words and get around that little situation. And no, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings. Well, why'd you do it then? That's a lie. You meant to hurt somebody, or you wouldn't have damned them. Wouldn't have sliced and diced them. And you know how many years it took me to be able to say that? Yes. This flesh will lie to try to get out of trouble. You do something wrong and your husband finds out about it, you spent $500 on a purse. Why'd you do that?
Oh, I don't know. What?
You mean you wrote a check for $500 and don't know why? Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to clean up the streets. It's time to put Christ back in the church. It's time to put Christ in our home. It's time to put the Word in every heart. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. In the meantime, I'm going to preach the Word, because it's the only thing that gives you an anchor of the soul, both steadfast and sure, that you're going to get out of here on time when the whistle blows, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when the trump of God sounds. You're going to be transformed, if you're being transformed regularly now. It's not about going to church, put in a few minutes for a lot of people. Change from the invisible to the visible, so we could behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. sin. Sin separates you from the power structure of the Word. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Men grow into it. Don't expect yourself the first night you talk in tongues or get baptized in Jesus' name to all of a sudden be super lady. Superman.
Now, Mr. Devil.
I tried that. Boy, I challenged the devil as soon as I got the Holy Ghost and talked in tongues, because I'd heard all my life, Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power. Mr. Devil, get out of my way. But without the Word of God, you don't have a backbone. Without the Word of God, you don't have any muscle power, because the muscle pulls against the structure. And with the bone structure in place, the Word of God and the Spirit of truth began to cause you to be able to reach down and say to this mountain, get out of my way, I'm coming through. I am a child of the King, and I got the name, and I got the blood for it, and I got the life for it, and I'm coming through. And world, let me tell you, you can't create enough devils to get rid of the resurrection. You can't create enough enemies to get rid of the power of the resurrection. That resurrection that we celebrated a few weeks ago, I'm here to tell you that is the signal that He is King of kings, Lord of lords, and that His word is yea and amen, and there's no lying in it, because He said, you crucify this flesh, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And guess what? We're the witness of what God did years ago, and that witness still lives. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands to it. When you're having trouble with your car, it's hard to remember why you bought it. Religion has a lot of failures, but the blood of Jesus, the wisdom of God, and the power structure never fails. That's why through obedience, Jesus, the Son of God, are the visible counterpart of the invisible God. That God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself was powerful. But Jesus was able to say, go ahead, put me in a grave. But you go check that grave in 3 days, because I'm out of here. That validates the whole economy of spiritual living. That's why God's people, I don't care what they name the front door of the church building, if the message of death, burial, and resurrection is not preached, there is no doctrinal fabrication to it. Death, burial, and resurrection is repent by faith, be baptized in the name of Jesus by faith, and receive the Holy Ghost, which is the power of God unto salvation. And those are all straight scriptures. Then holiness takes its proper perspective, because that spirit always wants to please the Father. The word Father just simply means source. Any fathers here, would you stand real quickly? Now, let me just address you fathers for a minute. It's your responsibility as the source to make sure your home has spiritual economy, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's give these fathers a big hand. It's not Father's Day, but it's a good time to give them accolades. But it is our responsibility to provide the source of all victory and transformation or change or hope, because hope maketh not ashamed. And the spirit of hope is what we live with now. But if we hope for that which we believe in, then we shall receive it, the Bible said. So hope, the Bible says, we're saved by hope. But you can't just go on a hope chase. Being born again of the water and the Spirit is what validates all spiritual authority. So we have so many lookalikes in our world of originals, and we seldom think little of imitations with limitations. A person can dress like it, they can talk in tongues, they can get baptized, but until faith is truly included in those ingredients, and faith without works is dead. I don't want a dead faith retarding my brain. Faith without works is dead. The writer goes on to say, I will show you my faith by my works. So a lot of people have tried to confuse the issue by saying, all of you people, try to save yourself by works, not on your life. We don't do what we do, lifting our hands, as the Bible said. We lift them because of faith. Faith says the word works. And so we lift our hands, not because we're trying to make ourselves look good. We are reaching up as an antenna, crucifying the flesh, letting that praise come out of our fingertips. God, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the ministry of the Word. I thank you, God, that you have told us there's a heaven, there's a hell, there's a Word, and a Word will lift us up, and a Word is a platform that raises us up. And you just give praise, because praise is comely. Comely there in that word of God means beauty. It causes you to sense beauty. It causes you to sense glory. Beauty is a wonderful thing. I like the springtime with its flowers. I like the Christmas time with its light. Beauty is nice. And so we decorate ourselves according to simplicity and modesty and moderation. Let your moderation be known to all men. Because we don't want to glorify flesh. We want to glorify our name. We want to glorify the blood. We want to glorify the word. We want to glorify the spirit. And then, hallelujah, you see miracle after miracle happen in your life and your surroundings, because the greater is he that is for you than he that is against you. And sickness is against you, but the healer is for you. I'm here to tell us we're moving on. Thank you, Brother Matt, for that encouraging word today. Thank you, Brother Sterling, for the youth, representing the youth, that we're going to follow. We're going to get in here. We're going to give it our heart. We're going to give it our mind. We're going to give it our voice. We're going to give it our feet. We're going to give it our hands. Oh, hallelujah. So, way back in Isaiah's writings, the 43rd chapter, and I didn't take time to put it all on in there, but the wonderful thing he says here, I will do a new thing. Somebody say a new thing. Bible said in the book of Hebrews, having found fault with the law. Now, there was nothing wrong with the law. So when you read that scripture, you have to study to show yourself approved of God, is what the Bible said. You don't just take one scripture and build a whole religious system on it, which is what a lot of people are doing. You look into the Word of God to find out what that means. Having found fault with the law, the people couldn't keep it. Their spirit was contrary to it, and so they didn't have enough confidence and faith and spirit to manage the Ten Commandments. So God said, this is what I'm going to do. I've already got a backup plan. He said, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, you've got to realize that God knew the frailty of flesh, and there was a great situation here that man could possibly do the law, but man was not able to do the law. So God came in flesh, and that's why Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and other areas of the Bible. It is a replete thing. It is complete. There is no lack. But flesh could not keep the Ten Commandments. Love your neighbor was out of the question. Man, their cat may get over there and build a nest in your tree. I don't know if cats build nests in trees, so you know I'm not an animal lover. But I know that different things happen. So beginning approximately 2,000 years ago, this new thing from all the way back in Isaiah's writing begins to materialize. It's a phenomenon. God could say and know that without a question, in due season, it shall come to pass. And so Luke 24, 45 through 52 is something you may want to write down and study. Acts 1, the followers immediately made their way to the promise of this new thing, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, it didn't take a real rocket scientist to figure out that just because there was prophecy, a statement made that Mary would birth a child without having a husband. I mean, that's amazing. Only God can do that. There had to be a conception. And so the Spirit that created the heavens and the earth without physical hands spoke the world into existence. Let there be a world. Let there be light. Let there be. And boom, it was. But when it came to having a church or a bride, that had to be something select that had a choice. It had to be a people that would decide, I will become the bride of Christ or the partner. Bride just simply means partner. You're responsible, brother. Would you stand and show the people how responsible you are? Response means respond. That is a lot of response ability. All that beauty don't come free, brother. And so Jesus said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll go to a cross. I'll lay my life on the line. I'm going to just let you kneel at the altar right there in front of her. When he says for you to submit yourself, it's not to the flesh. It's to that spirit of a man who is responsible for making sure your home, your brain, your mind has the strength and the wisdom of God. He is to exemplify and example what worship is. Sort of show her what worship is. That's it. Turn around and show the church what a young youth pastor we have that wants to exalt the name of the Lord. There's no doubt about it. He loves the King. He loves the Word. He loves you. He loves your kids. He loves the future that God is offering to our church and our school and our system and around. Oh, I thank God for a church that has raised up some young people that love the King. They love the Word. They love the Spirit of Truth. They love the victory that comes with the Spirit of Truth. I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I can dance easy today because He alone can do this. And He has honored your prayers. He's honored scores of years of dedication from some mothers and dads that kept the finances of this church alive and kept the spirit of it alive. I'm just a participant in what that new thing is. Acts 1, Acts 2, 1 through 43. You ought to make a note if you don't understand and know these already. But we hear a message on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2, 1 through 14, somewhere around there. I haven't looked at it recently, but But in that setting, you see, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And when all of this began to take place, there were standing around 12 different religious systems, and they started arguing, that can't be this, and that can't be that, etc. And ladies and gentlemen, but that did continue. And you see it in Acts 8, and you see it in Acts 10, and you see it in Acts 11, and you see it in Acts 19. And all you have to do is to have two witnesses of the same thing to notarize anything. And God put a stamp of approval on it when he had four examples of the promise coming, and the people got it. Acts 2, Acts 1, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 11, Acts 19. Ladies and gentlemen, it's foolproof. There is no need to argue with God. He's the one that raises the sun in the morning. He's the one that gives you every next breath. I'm here to tell you, he is God, and he's God alone. They can put you on a machine, but a machine will go out. They can put you on this and that and the other and keep your blood flowing for a while, but it can't give you final life. But the Lord of hosts, who is the glory of life, I'm here to tell you, his name is wonderful for a reason. His spirit is dynamic for a reason. There is none like him. There's none above him. There's none below him. There's none beside him. He alone is God. And that's why we believe in the oneness of God, because there is one source, one power, one glory, one victory, one heaven, one name. There is oneness everywhere you look. If you want to find the glory of the King, look to the one who rose up from the dead. Look to the one who's coming back in the sky. Look for the one who can cleanse your sins. I'm here to tell you today in authority by the word of God, and I can prove it in many more places than I'm declaring today. This amplifies St. John 3, 1 through 10, where Nicodemus said, where or how can a man be born again? That's a phenomenal scripture. That's in the books of the preachers before the day of Pentecost. When you read that little verse, and Nicodemus came to him by night, snuck away from religion to find salvation. Read it. I'm not playing games with this stuff. It's your future. You're going to be in a graveyard in the next 100 years. And he could come before then with the way things are shaping up. Now, one of the things that I always catalog in my mind, we've been looking for him to come back for almost 2,000 years. So I wouldn't get nervous about anything. Hello? We believe in being honest. When he left, he told him, he said, behold, I'll come quickly. I don't know if that fits your calendar or not, but quickly for me is hurry up and get that breakfast done. Quicker the better, but not for the sinners. The Bible said he puts off that coming. Maybe you've been praying for a child. Maybe you've been praying for a friend. Eternity is a long time. What's it to the church if he puts it off another 50 years? He wants everybody that wants to be a part of the bride. He's willing to put you on hold for a little while because he knows that your faith can carry you through anything in the world. So he says, keep the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Man, can you remember Brother C.P. Kilgore's name? He preached Jesus was coming back in the 40s. I'll never forget my Bible school teacher has a pamphlet. I've got it in my folder that Jesus is coming in 1977. I was ready. He was my teacher at college. How long has that been? 23 plus 21, 44 years ago. Behold, I come quickly. What you got to understand is when it happens, it's going to be quick. But man tries to put that on a calendar and says, it's going to be this year. How many of you remember 88 reasons why he's coming in 1988? Boy, everybody prayed through in our church. I mean, that was pamphlet written. Wasn't like some suggestion. It was written in pages and gave all kind of descriptions. Too many things to deny being born again, as Acts 2:38. The follow-up is this clear. We pursue a pattern of the Bible. God did not give us a partial life, which is what occurs when we take only part of the Bible. Let me quote it to you again. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And don't miss this part. The Word became flesh. When you read in this book, in that flesh dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That is powerful. He's not coming back after 55 denominations. He's coming back after people who have made themselves ready by faith, pull the Word of God into their feet, into their hands, into their heart, and they live the best they can. Now, you say, Brother Meyer, you expecting me to be perfect? Yes. Perfect in your faith. Perfect faith perfects the system in time. Somebody say it again. We are changed into His image from glory to glory. As you keep the faith, the preaching of the Word, the Bible said we're saved by the preaching of the Word. Not great oratory, which is nowadays, I mean, if a guy can quote several things and entertain the brain, people can say, well, he's smart. Listen to this one scripture. The carnal mind, the non-born again mind, receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. It took the power of the Holy Ghost to put the Word into their feet, into their hands, into their mind, into their heart. So we're saved by the Word of God through the obedience to the Word. And He said, they that be disobedient shall not inherit the kingdom. So it's not like it's left up to me to design my own gospel and my own religious system. The reason I am of a United Pentecostal Church licensed minister is not because I preach Pentecostalism. I preach Jesus because Pentecostals endorse the entirety of the Word of God. The fact that they don't all practice, it's their problem. My problem is if I don't preach the Word, then I don't belong in the kingdom. Now don't worry about trying to memorize all this stuff. I see some of you trying to memorize it. And follow-up is clear. We pursue this pattern of the Bible. And that's the reason we have church. And we have regular church services, just like you eat regular. You can't eat one time and do it all for a month. I see some of you been trying to. But you'll be back at the table in about 3 or 4 hours. Sneaking out of the bed in the middle of the night, headed to the fridge. It's all right. Smile. We're having a great time. Man, this is not boring, morbid, or anything else. This is the church. You're going to last forever in the church. you're going to last forever. You're going to be creating new worlds. I mean, conquering some of that stuff out yonder is going to be pure easy. God does away with the law or the Ten Commandments, not by doing away with the truth of the law. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. He reduces it to those two I just quoted, because you don't steal from those you love. You don't commit adultery with those you care about. So he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto them as you would have them do unto you. So he condenses all the ten into two, because the spiritually minded understands from A to Z, we don't behave ourselves, as the Bible said, unseemly. Those are the people that he talks about that have given themselves over to a reprobate mind. The reprobate just simply means willing to believe a lie instead of believing the truth. A reprobate is somebody that believes in a lie, believes it can deliver them, believes it can do for them, and they're reprobate concerning the faith, the Bible said. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not some little deal, well, man, I don't enjoy a church anymore. What? Man, you enjoy eating. That's what this is. This keeps the brain clear. This keeps the heart clear. This keeps the man holy. Holy meaning complete. And ye are complete in him. Holiness is not just the way you dress. It's the way you don't dress. However, he implements through the new kingdom the law of the Spirit of Christ, which is the born-again experience, a new dimension which amplifies the responsibility of the believer. You don't just say, well, I accept Christ as my Savior and go on and keep sinning. And I'm shocked at people that go to church and commit adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and say, well, the preacher told me I'm saved. Man, I can do what I want to do because I signed up. You better ask your wife what she thinks about signing up. Better ask your husband what he thinks about you signing up. Might want to even talk to your kids about it. You know why kids are doing what they're doing? Poor examples. I'm not afraid to say it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's no time for playing games with a forever life. You're going to live forever somewhere. I'm going to preach the light of the gospel because you need a chance to see the path, the where to walk, the how to walk, the how to live, the how to worship, the how to praise, the how to make sure I am a part of the bride. It's building up your most holy faith. It's building up a confidence. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. You are made in the image. Stand there and try to look handsome. Maybe you ought to pick up that flower and sort of cover part of yourself then. Not your face, that's the best part of you. Go ahead and put it back up there. That red represents the blood. I wasn't doing that on purpose. It just sort of worked out. You're covered. Your weakness is covered by the blood. I don't know what I got to say to really excite us, but I'm here to tell you, when you get baptized in the name of Jesus, the blood of covering takes effect by faith. I'm telling you, it is no small issue to get baptized into the body of Christ Jesus our Lord. But I want to tell you this, it does look nice when you put this with that face, and yeah, look at this. That's why brides carry a corsage when they get married. What's wrong with having a great day at the house of God? I'm here to tell you this ought to be one of the most thrilling moments of our week, to have the word, the blood, the name, and all that renewed in us, and the washing away of all the history of this past week, the deficit stuff. We're covered by the blood of Jesus. That green can't do it, but you've got the covering. Thank you for heaven. The veil was rent in twain. That's the best I could do. In the Old Testament, when the priest started out there at the altar where they killed the ox. And then if you've ever studied the tabernacle plan, the laver of water was right here. That brazen altar represented where the sacrifice took place. The laver of water was where the priest washed his hands. And as he went into the tabernacle, over to his left was the golden candlesticks. Over to his right was the table of showbread. The showbread represents the Word of God. And the seven golden candlesticks represents the spirits of God. Seven perfect spirits. Spirits that identify the glory of your future. And then as you go on in, you find out that there is a veil. And that veil separates the holy place. The outside where the altar is a different place. You come through the first veil into the holy place. And then you go past the veil into the holiest of holies, where the mercy seat was. That's huge stuff. He said, all of these are types and shadows of that which is to come. Jesus was already on the horizon. The kingdom was already on the horizon. But he wanted them to sense and see that things cannot happen in the supernatural without having a supernatural power. So the blood of bulls and goats could push it away for a year. Cleansing your conscience. I will remember that day. I remember I brought my best heifer. I brought my best dove. I brought my best to give it to God, and we crucified it. But now, the Lord of glory, hallelujah, he became the willing sacrifice that shed the blood so that you and I could walk our way through by faith, through that old-fashioned tabernacle. Now, hallelujah, you can repent of your sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and the blood covers it all, and the spirit of it pushes away the past. Singers are coming. Our love and devotion of faith in Jesus Christ. A life that calls us out of the world system. When he says, come out and be ye separate. He's inviting you to a banquet table. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I do understand that some of us preachers have been a little bit belligerent and saying, you got to quit this, instead of inviting you to what reality has offered to us. You don't want dirty hands when you understand clean living. There is a beauty to holiness. But a person that don't love a holy God don't even deserve to dress holy. Because their countenance is not changed to match their appearance. Love worketh separation. I don't know how most of you men would feel, but I think I do. I'm not sharing that gorgeous lady over there with another man. She chooses that. I choose separation. God will not have a bride that's not devoted to him. So the separation is not leaving the best for level ground. Separation is from loving the world and loving a God that owns the world. Loving a God that gives you every breath. Every good thought cometh from above, the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He hadn't changed his mind about anything in that book. He changed dimensions. He changed the way he brought it about. But his love has been ever since Adam and Eve chose to follow another lover. He's reached with the law. He's reached with prophets. He's reached with the word. And now he's reaching with his spirit. That spirit of resurrection. And he's calling somebody in this house today. The therapy is nothing. Church services are therapeutic. Mentally, spiritually, and physically. And I can't thank our singers enough for leading us on holy ground. Thank you all for caring enough to practice, to perfect, so that we are not goofed up with one of you singing off key over here and one of you over here and doing your own thing. They unify themselves the best they can by what we call practice sessions. And they put a lot of time into it. A lot of effort goes into it that most of us never know. We ought to give our worship leaders a little hand clap. Bible talks about perfecting praise, and these people do this. Our standards or disciplines gain attention. You buy a car a certain color because you like the car and you want people to notice. You plant flowers, you groom the flowers, you spend time with all of that stuff, and people ride by that don't care and they say, I don't know why I do all that. You understood that the eye of the Lord is constantly upon the world, looking for a place to show himself strong, and he can sense the dedication of his lover. But beyond that, the world knows that you don't belong to them anymore. You've got a new lover. And you're not trying to please the world any longer. You're trying to please the God that is not looking for you to show off your body, but to show off your heart and your dedication and your commitment and your love and your devotion to him. That's why I said, come out and be you separate. I'm sorry that some of us preachers haven't taken the time to deliberate enough on that. But it's not about hurrying up and the way you dress. It's hurrying up and turning your life around. And looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Somewhere between the start and the finish, you will have many chances to be tempted, to be tried. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. He doesn't mind going to church as long as there's no name mentioned. You can talk about everything in the world, but don't talk about the name of Jesus, because all power in heaven and earth belong to that name. And when you declare the name of Jesus, demons have to move. When you declare the name of Jesus in your worship, powers start coming in. When you declare the name of Jesus, I'm telling you, angels start ministering, because the angels understand one thing, that hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. His name is one, and His kingdom is one, and it's all got a name, and it's at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God our Father. Could we stand? Would you like to offer Him a sacrificial praise right now? Why don't you just tell Him, thank you for keeping me alive this long. None of us are perfect. I promise you, your pastor's not. I don't even claim to be. But I'm fighting the fight of faith. Let's just pour out praise on Jesus, would you, while the singers sing a minute. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost and you want it, please feel free to come to the front. Acts 2, 37, 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to as many as are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Hallelujah. That's it. One of the ushers will be glad to tell you how to get ready to be baptized if you're ready.
This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
And I'll gladly meet anybody at the altar. You want to come down and ask a question, that's fine.
This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands.
Your faithfulness, your faith.